time now for the 1215 News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's Fairfield area weather forecast calls for partly cloudy skies with a high of 42. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 18. I'm Jeff Vaughn, reporting the news. State Representative Curtis J. Tarver visited Wayne and White counties last week as part of the Illinois Farm Bureau Adopt a Legislator program. Tarver was joined by his daughter Charlie and her godfather Jason, as well as several directors and staff of the Farm Bureau. This was Tarver's first visit to the counties. Appearing on Morning Coffee this morning, Wayne County Farm Bureau Manager Doug Anderson detailed the stop in Wayne County.
We started off at the Byers Family Farm, which is just north of Jeff on Highway 45, and we visited with Rodney and Richie and Hayden and Matthew Byers.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked to him about farm technology, how they use different forms of data in their analysis of how their farm fields are doing, you know, everything from soil testing to yield information to population. And, of course, everything's laid out in colorful grid maps, if you will, for every single field, all these different layers of data that they can look at and analyze. So they went through a lot of that. They talked about their farm. We were able to get him up in a combine, and he experienced corn harvest for the first time, I think, in his life. So. Yeah, they all got on combines and experienced corn harvest. And then we did a little bit of a tour of the farm and the grain drying system and talked a little bit about that part of it.
The group then traveled to Grayville to meet with a team from Wabash Valley Service Company and toured George Mitchell Drilling in Carmi. Tarver's stay concluded with a dinner at the Social House in Carmi, where bureau directors discussed the issues facing farmers in southeastern Illinois. The Adopt a Legislator program seeks to pair urban legislators with downstate county farm bureaus so they can learn more about agriculture and the issues in rural counties. Wayne and White County Farm Bureau leaders plan to meet with Tarver again next month at the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting in Chicago. More news next.
Hi folks, this is Sandy at Gill Sales. Have I got great news for you. Speed Queen has continued their 10-year parts and labor warranties on all laundry products through the end of 2019. That means full parts and labor coverage through 2029. What more could you ask for? Where else can you get that kind of coverage at no extra cost? If your old washer or dryer is on its last leg, come see us at Gill Sales and Service, 1605 West Main in Fairfield. Congratulations, Mules, for a great season. Go Mules!
Why should we eat dinner together more often? Dinner is a time to relax, recharge, laugh, tell stories, and catch up on the day's ups and downs while developing a sense of who we are as a family. That's what Sisney Key Market prides itself on, providing a home-like environment and a great meal while allowing families to spend the time together they deserve with no worries. Stop by your hometown grocery connection, Sisney Key Market, today on the square in Sisney, where dinner and family go hand in hand.
In other news, North Wayne EMS responded to two accidents on Monday. According to police reports, at approximately 3:45 p.m., 25-year-old Louisville resident Jedediah N. Oliver was northbound on Highway 45, approximately 1 mile north of Sisney. He lost control of his 2009 Saturn due to icy conditions. He then crossed the center line and collided head-on with a southbound 2006 Ford driven by 32-year-old Reinerd resident David B.D. Vaughn. Oliver, Vaughn, and a passenger in Vaughn's vehicle were all transported to the Clay County Hospital. A tow truck was called to the scene, and the vehicles sustained over $1,500 damage. Oliver was cited for improper lane usage. At approximately 3:10 Monday morning, 76-year-old Brownstown resident Rudolph Satterfield was westbound on Highway 45 in Sisney. He reportedly approached a curve in a Freightliner truck tractor, started to go onto County Highway 16, and then attempted a quick turn to remain on Highway 45. He failed to make the turn, traveled off the roadway down an embankment, overturned on his driver's side, and came to rest. Police reports indicate Satterfield refused transport to an area hospital. A tow truck was called to the scene, and the vehicle sustained over $1,500 damage. 34-year-old Fairfield resident Heather A. Dunlap was arrested by Wayne County deputies early this morning on a charge of criminal damage to property $300 or less. Dunlap was transported to the Wayne County Jail and held, pending the posting of $120 bond. The McLeansboro City Council met Tuesday night and discussed a proposed McLeansboro-Fairfield electricity interconnect. Reports indicate, due to old equipment, McLeansboro does not have enough capacity to provide power in case of an outage. SIPC and a power plant are the only power sources for the city. The council was told the city of Fairfield owns an alternate source line to the SIPC substation in McLeansboro. The city is looking into how it could use the line as a secondary source of power. Reports say the council is in talks with Fairfield officials about shared maintenance costs in trade for use of the line. The McLeansboro Council approved an inspection of utility poles for a cost of roughly $40,000, with the understanding the cost would be shared equally between Fairfield and McLeansboro. The North Wayne Christmas for Kids program will hold a large toy auction tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Sisney Community Center. A variety of new and name-brand toys, including Barbie and Lego, will be available. A selection of Christmas decor, houseware, bedding, candy, and pantry items will also be available. Concessions will be sold, as will barbecue, chicken and noodles, and drinks. The event will benefit Christmas for Kids in the North Wayne area. The Electric Committee of the Fairfield City Council met last night in an informational meeting. The committee of Alderman Tyler Lampley, Gary Moore, and Brett Cole says it is in the preliminary stages of an investigation of the feasibility of the Wainwright Electric Cooperative serving the city. The full study is expected to take 6 to 12 months. The committee heard from electrical distribution lead man Tyler Lashbrook, and he detailed several issues the city is facing, including a substation that needs rebuilt, circuits that need upgraded, and various problems caused by a lack of funds over the years. Lashbrook also said the city's linemen need a pay increase, as their salaries are substantially lower than the surrounding areas. The committee says the key issues that must be resolved quickly are bonds related to the city's 138 kV steel transmission line and the ability to assign or transfer its Illinois Municipal Energy Agency contract. Lampley, the committee chair, says the city is under contract for the foreseeable future with the IMEA.
We're under an obligation to IMEA through 2035. It's an all requirements contract where we have to buy all of our power through them. They have bonds that they have issued that each member has a stake in. And because of that, that's why we have a long-term contract. So to be able to even consider that, we have to review all those bonds.
In the meantime, Fairfield and Wainwright, along with their parent organizations of the IMEA and Hoosier Energy, will begin working to establish the co-op as an emergency backup to limit a major outage. Lampley says the IMEA has started that process.
They have given us preliminary approval, but they're going to work with Hoosier for us so that we don't have to have the expenses of attorneys and things like that. They will help set up the backup and the amounts of cost that'll cost the city to use them.
Wainwright has access to resources such as a mobile substation. It also has the ability to make tie-in connections, which could help overcome an unexpected power emergency. Alderman Cole raised a question the city will have to deal with in the future and asked how much rates would have to go up if the city continues on its current path. No answer was given, but such information will be part of the committee's study. Alderman Moore made a point to praise the city's electrical workers for keeping the power on in the city, despite a system that, by all accounts, is facing major issues. The Wayne County Board will meet tonight at 7 with a relatively busy agenda. Several guests are scheduled to speak to the board, including Darren Hopper on county board consolidation and Brad Richards for an oil industry support resolution. The Wayne County Humane Society is also expected to have a representative present. The final guests will be Sonny and Janet McCulley regarding the movement for a separation of downstate Illinois from Chicago. The McCulleys spearheaded a petition drive in the county to get a referendum on the ballot, and McCulley says he will appear before the board asking them to support the separation.
I think it's going to take several years and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears before it does go. It's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to be several years. But every day, Chicago comes up with something new to give us all a reason to do this.
The McCulleys gathered 736 votes in Wayne County to get the measure on the ballot. They needed 440. Most of the county board's remaining business deals with various chair appointments. Scott Dozier is expected to be appointed as commissioner for Leech Grover Drainage, Richard Blanton for Elm River Drainage, Bill Book for Big Mound Drainage, Charles Shoup for Golden Gate Drainage, and Craig Williams for Woods Drainage. All terms would be 3 years. The board is also expected to enter executive session to discuss ongoing workmen's compensation issues. According to Wayne County State's Attorney Kevin Kakak, the final juvenile involved in the rash of car and business burglaries several weeks ago was sentenced on Tuesday in Wayne County Circuit Court. The juvenile was sentenced to the Illinois Department of Juvenile Justice for burglary charges, and they will remain in the department for no longer than 7 years or their 21st birthday, whichever occurs first, unless otherwise released. Three others had previously been sentenced in relation to the burglaries. Another juvenile was sentenced to the Department of Juvenile Justice, one adult was sentenced to prison, and another adult was sentenced to a term in the Wayne County Jail. 41-year-old Sisney resident Jeffrey W. Wilkins was sentenced to prison by Judge Michael Moult on Tuesday as well. He was sentenced to 5 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, plus 1 year of mandatory supervision upon his release. Judge Moult had earlier received Wilkins' admission that he had violated his probation on an original offense of possession of methamphetamine. That probation was revoked yesterday prior to the new sentence. Fairfield's 4th Mapping the Future of Your Community program will be held tonight at 5:30 at the Elks Club. Mayor Brent McGuire said the format of tonight's meeting will be different than the previous three, as people will be able to choose what goal they want to work toward.
Yeah, the mapping has been going well. I think we've had good attendance, between 40 and 50 people there at each of the three meetings. And this is where really we start getting into, we start creating the action plan. So at last meeting, we came up with 4 high priority goals and some strategies that tied into those goals. And now what we will do is break into groups to tackle each of those 4.
At the conclusion of the mapping sessions, there will be a townwide meeting to invite community participation.
Probably after the beginning of the year, we'll have this townwide meeting where everyone's invited. We want everyone to come. We want there to be hundreds of people there. And for us to say, here is the plan. So here's what we're going to do. Here's the steps that we're going to take to do it. And we need your help. We need you to get it plugged in. And here's the places that you can get plugged in.
The 5th and final mapping session will be held next Thursday. All meetings are open to the public. The first Fairfield Rotary Club and Wayne County Farm Bureau travelogue is set for tonight. Tonight's travelogue is Central and South America, and it will be narrated live by Marlon Dara. The program starts at 7:15 at Fairfield's First Baptist Church on South First Street. Admission is by season ticket only, and season tickets for all five travelogues are $30. They will be available tonight at the door. The State Senate has voted to make daylight saving time permanent in Illinois. Kim Howard has more.
The legislation passed 44-2, calling for Illinoisans to set their clocks ahead in March and then leave them there. Senator Linda Holmes of Aurora voted against the measure.
The reason being is there's been a lot of medical studies on this, and it says over time, daylight savings time eliminates bright morning light that's crucial to synchronizing your biological clock, possibly putting people at an increased risk of heart attacks, strokes, and other harmful effects of sleep deprivation.
Supporters cite other studies that say it's healthier to remain in daylight savings time. Even if this bill becomes law, it wouldn't take effect until Congress gives the state a waiver from the current practice or there's a change in federal law. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
A consolidation bill for municipal fire and police pensions cleared the House yesterday. The Pritzker administration's number one priority this veto session was nearly derailed by a late change, but a compromise was reached. Illinois Deputy Governor Dan Hines says pension funds are losing millions when nothing is done.
Since we issued our pension consolidation plan on October 10th, these funds have lost out on $33 million in estimated returns. $1 million a day. That's what inaction will continue to cost us. Over 5 years, this consolidation plan will mean as much as $2.5 billion in additional returns for downstate police and fire pension funds.
Supporters say a statewide investment fund will gain efficiencies and will result in higher returns for municipalities and the members of the pension funds. That's the news. Area deaths next.
Post frame buildings continue to pop up all over the area. And at Graber Post Buildings, they've been putting up buildings for over 40 years. Garages, pole barns, storage buildings, workshops, apartments, even indoor basketball courts, and some of the most attractive commercial buildings in the state. Every job is specific and unique to your wants and your needs. Graber Post also has packages for contractors and do-it-yourselfers. So for your next building or roofing project, call for a free quote at Graber Post, 800-264-5013.
Get on target with Ultra Products. With over 47 years of experience as a full-line archery store, they have all your hunting needs, including bows by Elite, PSE, Bear, Diamond, crossbows by Raven, Mission, Barnett, 10 Point, Horton, and Excalibur, ammo, tree stands, clothing, mug boots, and much more. Call them at 842-5796 or hunt for them 2 miles north of the Fairfield Huts, behind the White House with the white fence. Open 8:30 to 6 weekdays and 8 to 12 on Saturdays.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 39. It's time now to check the latest stock market numbers brought by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial advisor, located at 101 East Delaware, Suite A in Fairfield. The Dow was at 27,758, down 25. The NASDAQ is at 8,468, down 13. December crude oil is at $57, and that is down 12 cents. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 93-year-old Reinerd resident Hazel Smith died on Wednesday at her home. She was a homemaker. Hazel Smith is survived by daughter Peggy Dickey, brother Jack Block, 4 grandchildren, 7 great-grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Hazel Smith will be held at 11 o'clock a.m. on Saturday at Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. to service time. Burial will be in Sisney Cemetery. Memorials can be made to Blue Point Free Will Baptist Church or Clay County Hospice. They will be accepted at Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home which is in charge of arrangements. 80-year-old St. Clair resident Louis E. Kittle died last Wednesday in Washington, Missouri. He was a past member of the Masonic Lodge in St. Louis. Louis Kittle is survived by children Bradley Kittle of Sullivan, Lisa Dunce of Baldwin, Missouri, and Cynthia Wedemeyer of St. Clair, Missouri, sisters Fran Schaefer of Findlay, Ohio, and June Lepsky of St. Peter's, Missouri, 10 grandchildren, 12 great-grandchildren, 2 great-great-grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. A memorial service for Louis Kittle will be held at 11 o'clock a.m. on Saturday at the First United Methodist Church in Wayne City. A graveside service will follow at 1:30 at Mount Nebo Cemetery in McLeansboro. Memorial donations may be given to the family, and they will be accepted at the Midlawn Funeral Home of Union, Missouri, which is in charge of arrangements. 82-year-old McLeansboro resident Mildred Warren died at 4 o'clock a.m. on Tuesday at SSM Health Good Samaritan Hospital in Mount Vernon. She was a secretary. Mildred Warren is survived by sons Dwight and Bradley Warren of McLeansboro and John Warren of Dahlgren, sister Elizabeth Campbell of McLeansboro, brother Ronnie Cantrell of Dale, 4 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Mildred Warren will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. on Sunday at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on Saturday at the funeral home. Burial will be at the Oddfellows Cemetery in McLeansboro. Memorials can be made to the Shriners Hospitals for Children, and they will be accepted at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro, which is in charge of arrangements. 76-year-old Fairfield resident Ronald E. Bora died at 5:21 p.m. on Tuesday at Select Specialty Hospital in Evansville, Indiana. He was a scientist and inventor. Ron Bora is survived by son Scott Bora of Greenfield, Indiana, 2 grandchildren, brothers William Bora of Chicago and Glenn Bora of Fairfield, 1 niece and 1 nephew. A visitation for Ron Bora will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. on November 30th at the Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home. Per his request, his body will be cremated. Memorial donations can be made to the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and they will be accepted at the Johnson & Vaughn Funeral Home, which is in charge of arrangements. 51-year-old Albion resident Jimmy Joe Kennedy died on Tuesday at Wabash General Hospital in Mount Carmel. Jimmy Kennedy is survived by his wife, Carolyn, sons Josh Kennedy and Jacob Kennedy, parents Austin and Mary Kennedy, brother Billy Joe Kennedy, stepchildren Megan Rigg and Travis Dunn, and 2 step-grandchildren. Jimmy Kennedy was cremated, and there will be no public services. Ingram Meredith Funeral Home of Albion was in charge of arrangements. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and go home the same day? What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and return to driving in 5 days? What if you could undergo a hysterectomy and return to most normal activities in 2 weeks? With Asbury & Associates, you can. Dr. David Asbury is the most experienced surgeon in Southern Illinois performing robotic hysterectomies using the Da Vinci robot. This state-of-the-art technology offers women many benefits over traditional surgery. This minimally invasive procedure requires only small incisions. You'll experience less pain and blood loss with fewer complications. Call Asbury & Associates to learn more about robotic hysterectomies using the Da Vinci robot. 618-244-4800 or visit our website, asburyandassociates.com. Asbury & Associates, with four locations in Southern Illinois to serve you. Asbury & Associates. 618-244-4800.
Your classic hits, WFIW 104.9, Fairfield area weather for today, partly cloudy skies and a high of 42. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 18 and sunny skies tomorrow. Tomorrow's high will be around 40. The outlook for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, partly cloudy skies on Saturday. Saturday's high will be around 40 with a low of 22. Scattered showers are possible on Sunday. Sunday will have a high of 42 and low of 30, and then partly sunny skies on Monday. Monday will have a high of 48 and a low of 35.